Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff and I'm delighted to have you with me today. We're going to talk today about patient support and how we go about delivering patient support, especially for rare diseases because people are geographically scattered. So just calling a meeting is not so easy. And we're going to talk with Danielle Leach about one possible way of delivering patient support. Before we get into today's topic, though, I wanted to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. This program is brought to you each week by the VHL Family Alliance. That stands for von Hippel-Lindau disease, and it's one of those rare diseases that we sometimes talk about here. This program is designed for people with any complex medical condition or disability, and we try to bring in timely topics, things that will be of interest to you with those concerns. A complex medical condition is one where you're dealing with more than one medical specialist. So if you're dealing with more than one medical specialist, you're one of us, and we hope that you find some value here. Let me play you a little bit of information about VHL, and then we'll be right back to speak with Danielle Leach.
Von Hippel-Lindau disease, or VHL, is a genetic condition involving abnormal growth of tumors in some parts of the body. VHL occurs in every ethnic group worldwide. At this time, there's no cure, but research is helping those afflicted and their families learn how to manage their disease. When a family member has a tumor, it affects everyone in the family. VHL Alliance works to improve diagnosis, treatment, and the quality of life. Finding tumors early, getting the best treatment, and sharing information with others to help them cope is what VHL Alliance is all about. They're available to help lessen the stress of living with this lifetime chronic disease. Support the Cancer Research Fund of the VHL Alliance at VHL.org. That's Very Happy Life, VHL.org. 1-800-767-4-VHL.
Hi, welcome back. We hope that you'll visit our website and see all the fun things that we're doing. There's been a television program recently, Grey's Anatomy, has a character with von Hippel-Lindau disease that's kind of interesting, gives you some insights into the life of someone with such a complex disease. So at this point, I'd like to welcome our guest. Welcome to Danielle Leach from Inspire. Hi, Danielle.
Hi. Good afternoon. And
thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
So Danielle is the Director of Partnerships for Inspire.com. And Danielle, can you tell us a little bit about Inspire? What is Inspire?
Inspire was founded in 2005, and it's the leading provider of online patient community solutions. We provide safe, moderated online patient support communities organized by therapeutic area in partnership with leading national health organizations.
Great. And as Director of Partnerships, what is your role at Inspire?
My role in Inspire is to work with these national health organizations to create these online communities so patients have access to connect with each other and their caregivers and their families through this collaborative technology that Inspire provides.
So these are online support groups, so to speak.
Yes, yes. They're another mechanism for people to reach out and find others like themselves online.
Right. So if we were going to have a meeting, then everybody has to show up in the same place at the same time, and the logistics around that are pretty difficult. So this allows people to come to the same place, but not all at the same time, and it's a place on the internet, so you can be in your own home in your fuzzy slippers and participating at midnight. Is that true?
Absolutely. And there are some conditions where people don't, you know, inpatient support is not accessible. It's not convenient. They don't feel well enough to go to an inpatient support group. It's not something for them. It provides support outside the traditional business hours. There's 24-hour access to that peer support within their patient community.
Right. And so someone can put a question into the group and let it percolate for a few days and then come back and find answers from potentially all over the world. Is that true?
Right. They are able to, you know, access all of their different posts regularly to see what people have responded to. And, again, it's not limited by geographic area. We have members of Inspire from Australia, from all over the world. It's an international access, and that's very important when you're, especially when you're dealing with rare conditions. And we've seen time and time again patients who have found one another on these communities that they have never met somebody with their condition before.
Right, but it is bounded by the English language, right?
Yes, it is based in English, but that does not, so far that has not seemed to be a barrier. Obviously, you know, it would be ideal to have all different languages, but we're not quite there yet, but it seems people are able to connect quite well in the English language on Inspire.
Right. So, but I know in the VHL group, for example, we have people from literally all over the world, and they come and participate in the English language. As you say, there is some online translation, or a lot of people in other parts of the world have learned at least some English and are able to participate that way. But we have people, as you say, from the UK, from Australia. We have a lady from Nepal, people from Eastern Europe, from China. So it's wonderful to be able to touch one another. And I think one of the things we found particularly valuable is when someone has a kind of oddball question and their doctor doesn't know what to do with it and nobody in their country knows what to do with it, they can put it out and find someone who's going through the same experience, possibly on the other side of the world, but begin to get some insights into how to deal with it.
Right. I think that is one of the primary values of something like Inspire and having these communities, is putting those questions out there and being able to get responses of what people's experiences were and are, and how to handle certain situations, whether it be reactions to medications, whether it's how to ask your doctor about a particular treatment, what things are out there in terms of options for them. It provides a platform for discussion that was not there before.
Right. Right. And you had some experiences yourself with finding or organizing online support for, I think it was ovarian cancer?
Right. Prior to coming to Inspire, I was the director of education for the Ovarian Cancer National Alliance. And one of the challenges we had as an organization was we had many people calling us to ask for information and for support. But we were primarily an advocacy organization and part of a member group. We were a partnership of over 70 national organizations for ovarian cancer. But we needed to create a platform for our patients to go to, because that's what they were asking for. And so I actually was the person who helped create the online community on Inspire for ovarian cancer. And now we have over 5,000 patients and caregivers on that community. And it's a very active, vibrant group that has generated a lot of conversation and given a lot of resources and insight to both the patients and the organization.
Right. I think one of the things people are concerned about when they join a group like this on the internet is, how much email am I going to get? So, sometimes you do. You get buried under a mountain of email. So how does Inspire help members manage that?
Inspire is unique in the sense that you have complete control as a member of what information you receive and what information you show about yourself. So you have complete control. If you want to not receive any email, even the daily digest of what's happening in your community, you don't have to. You have complete control over all of that. And that is one of the features that people feel very comfortable about, is that they have complete control over, you know, their inbox, whether they want to get it in their email or they want to get it in their Inspire email. You know, it definitely helps people feel more comfortable because they don't feel overwhelmed. I think a lot of people, when they go to some message boards or some different platforms, they sign up for something and then they automatically start getting a million emails for donations and all these kinds of things. And this allows them to have control over that piece.
Right, right. Okay, so I could say, I don't want any emails at all. I'll go over when I feel like it and check the website, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. I could say, send me one email a day that has just a little quick summary of what's happening in the list, and then it tells you the topic, and you can either click and go over to the topic or not. Is that right?
You have the ability to click through and look at those snapshots that is some in the summary email. Or you can say, I want it only once a week. I only want that summary email once a week. It really depends on the disease condition. We see some conditions where people go in and, you know, want that email every single day, and then some conditions where they choose to do it less frequently.
Okay. Or I could, if I chose to, could I get messages as they occur?
Yes. Typically, when people respond to your posting, you can get a notification email.
So if I post a hot question, something that I care about a lot, then every time mm-hmm. somebody responds, I will get a little teaser email that says you've got a reply over there.
Right.
Okay. And another thing that I liked about the Inspire list is that there is a mechanism for individuals to correspond privately with one another without disclosing their real details. Tell us about that.
Right. When you sign up for Inspire, you sign up using your username, and we don't encourage you to use an identifying username. But you never reveal your personal email unless you choose to do so within your profile. And that's something that we don't encourage. So really, you never have your personal email out there. And you can email privately through the Inspire system, so you create a friendship, much like the typical social network. You ask somebody to be your friend, and you can create that friendship. And then you can email each other one-on-one through the system, again, not ever having to reveal your personal email. And so there's that level of security that, you know, you wouldn't have in other platforms.
Mm-hmm. So if this is something like, I don't know, maybe it's a prostate cancer support, and I don't want to reveal that I have prostate cancer, which, of course, is unlikely. But, but anyway, that I could create myself an alias and call myself, I don't know, Snoopy or something. And then when I post a message, it's posted just from Snoopy. And then if I want to ask someone else a question or if they want to ask me a question, then we ask if we can be friends, and once we're friends, then we can exchange messages sort of behind the curtain without anybody else seeing them. So there's a sort of public-private level of the system. Is that right?
Right. There is a public and a private, and I think one thing that appeals to people, because if you've been on traditional discussion boards, sometimes those traditional discussion boards have personal conversations going on that are not really relevant to the larger group.
Right.
And kind of create a lot of traffic that's not really relevant to what everybody cares about. And not that it's not valuable, but it's definitely something that doesn't really belong there. And so here you have the opportunity to have those offline conversations through the Inspire system, friend system, and then you can post the things that you want public on the discussion boards and ask for more of the public questions that you want responses from everybody about.
Right. And so that takes things like, how about those Red Sox, whatever, out of the medical conversation. And also, I think the other thing that sometimes becomes an issue in support boards is things that get a little too religious down a particular path. That if people want to go off and have a very Christian or a very Hindu conversation on the side, they can definitely do that, but they don't have to do that publicly.
Right. It affords a level of comfort for the conversation to be more personal, and again, for those more specific offline topics or categories in which you want to talk about.
Right, and sometimes it's a heart-to-heart conversation, you know, that maybe mm-hmm. you don't want to put out there too publicly things about childbearing or how you're getting along with your kids or mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. That you might feel comfortable doing with a friend, with someone else who's kind of shown a little bit in the public sphere that makes you think that this person might have something of value to contribute to what you're thinking, you can go have that private conversation without exposing those cards to publicly.
Right, exactly. And I'm a member of the American Childhood Cancer Organization. I had a son who had brain cancer who passed away, and often I go on that community, and many of us reach out to the families who are dealing with palliative care issues or end-of-life issues, that we often reach out to them through that system, you know, on a more private manner, to reach out to them so that they can receive support on more of a one-on-one basis.
That's a good point, because when you're in a cancer support group, most of the people don't want to hear about death. But
right.
It's a reality. It is something that absolutely needs support and needs the right kind of care. And being able to have that more private level gives you the opportunity to have those conversations as needed.
Right. Absolutely.
So what other kinds of behind-the-scenes conversations have you seen people do that have become particularly important?
Well, I don't. You know, our system doesn't monitor. You know, I mean, we have three levels of moderation, and we have a full-time team moderators that do the public discussion boards. But in terms of the private conversations, we don't jump in unless there is somebody that flags a particular conversation if there's problems. So again, there's that level of comfort that we're not going to jump in, and you know, Big Brother is not looking over every second of those private conversations.
Right.
But there is, I think we see a lot of people using that when they fostered more personal relationships locally. We saw this in the bladder cancer community. They actually started through their community reaching out to each other, you know, because you can search for people within your zip code through the friend system to find members that are within your geographic area. And they actually got together in person and had these picnics to meet one another. And that was a really interesting experience. Our advanced breast cancer community also did that. They met at a particular conference. They all said, you know, here we're going to meet at the conference at this place. And they used that feature to connect with one another and have that ability to meet more locally.
Right. So when you create your profile, you put down what country you're from, what postcode or something you may be living in. And then as a member, you can search to see how many people there are within so many miles of where you live. Is that right?
Right. And again, it's only for those who choose to show that information. So again, you can choose to not choose show any of that information or share any of that information. But for those who choose to make that public to members, yes, you can find people within your geographic area through our member search feature.
Right, and that's been very nice for us in the VHL world, because we've been able to say, hey, we have more than 50 people in the United Kingdom, for example. There was some noise in the beginning about maybe we need a group that's unique to England, and little by little they began to see the value in having a larger group than that, and yet being able to identify who's from the UK if they wanted to have a UK-specific conversation.
Right. I think that one thing that we always encourage our partners to look at is you need to look at the collective and not break it down so geographically, because sometimes people want to create a mid-Atlantic group or a U.S. group or a European group, and we're saying there's power in the collective voice and the power in the collective discussion, and the Inspire provides the tools in which to target the people within those specific geographic areas when you need to.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because it's been very instructive in our community to have those cross-border conversations. When we were talking about changes in healthcare in the United States, some of the people from outside the United States were totally appalled to hear some of the issues that Americans are dealing with. You know, what do you mean you can't get DNA testing? What do you mean you may get discriminated against in insurance? Who in their right mind would do that, you know? And I remember one woman from Canada, we got into a discussion about what Americans thought about the Canadian system, and the Canadians were coming back and saying, where did you learn that? That's not the way it works. And at the end of the discussion, this one Canadian woman said, I will never complain about the Canadian system again. What you're dealing with is so totally outrageous. So, yeah, so we learn what other people have, pro and con, and they learn what we have and don't have. It's really been very eye-opening. And then there will be different ways of dealing with a particular tumor type. Some doctor from Germany may have something innovative to share, and if people are able to share different kinds of treatment modalities as well.
Right, and that's particularly important in the rare disease community and the rare cancers, and trying to find that access point or trying to find information. Oh, hey, did you hear about that group in Italy that's doing genetic testing on that particular disease? Or, you know, there's this new interesting clinical trial in brain tumors coming out of Japan. Have you heard about it? Those kind of conversations are really valuable to people who are going on the internet to really find those experimental treatments when they've run out of options.
Right. Another interesting thing that we've seen people use this for is to say, look, I just moved to, I don't know, Loma Linda, California. Have you got a doctor who knows anything about VHL in my area? And get some names from other folks.
Absolutely, and we've seen that a lot in our communities of just the practical information. Who do you go to see? What doctors have you reached out to? What services are available? What local community organizations are really helpful to you? Those practical conversations really help patients on a day-to-day basis.
Right. And where organizations like ours really can't have a list of doctors we recommend, there's legal issues that pop up and red flag that all the time. But certainly
right.
One individual can say to another one, I really like this doctor, or I really don't like this doctor, and share those opinions. And those opinions are frequently very helpful.
Right, absolutely. And I think, you know, the importance of people having the ability to share those thoughts and share those experiences. What we always say to people is to talk about in organizations is that you need to kind of listen to having a community is really valuable because you can see what's happening in, actually out in the field more than you realize. We at Inspire see that all the time. We saw this when I was at Ovarian Cancer National Alliance. One thing we always thought, oh, this is going to be great for all the newly diagnosed patients. And what actually the community has turned out to be very heavily about recurrence. And about the issues around recurrence and what people are dealing with around recurrence. And so it actually changed some of the things we were doing within the office on how we were focusing our programming and our conference and advocacy issues just based on what we were seeing in terms of the conversations happening in the community.
Right, right. Yeah, it does. It helps us as organizations to keep a pulse on what is the community thinking about. And and having those multiple tiers is also helpful. One of the things that I'm writing about right now is a pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. There had been a lot of questions in the online community about it. But even with those aliases, not everybody was willing to speak about it publicly. So I could pose the question. Sometimes I'd get public answers, but I would always say, and if you'd rather write to me privately, here's my email address. And I get answers through both channels.
Right. And again, Inspire is a very safe, private, secure platform in which to have these types of conversations. And both in the public space, again, you have the ability to control any of the posts that you make on Inspire can be either public, members only to your community, or just within your Inspire friends. So say you only make five friends and that's only you friend five people and you only want them to see your post, that post can only be going to that friend. That's how granular the selection is.
Now, there's one other interesting aspect to Inspire, and that is because you are hosting, what did you say, 70 national partnerships, you have conversations going on lots of different topics. We've mentioned a couple of them here, like in VHL, We have one on von Hippel-Lindau disease. We have one on endocrine disorders. We have one on the National Organization for Rare Disorders. So people can subscribe to one or two or more conversations depending on what's going on in their lives.
Right.
I think there's one for premature babies, right?
Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. We have multiple communities. One of the benefits of being on the Inspire platform, both for an organization and for a member, is that you can join multiple communities. So you're dealing, as an individual, you're dealing with multiple health conditions, and especially for certain, as you were speaking before, some conditions have multiple issues that overlap. And you can join multiple communities that deal with, you know, whether it's a heart condition or a cancer condition or late side effects for premature babies. You can join those three different communities on Inspire and only have to go to one place.
Right, and you would get information about all three of those conversations in your one summary message, right?
Right, which is definitely beneficial for people because, you know, obviously when you're dealing with multiple health conditions or just, you know, dealing with a chronic health condition, sometimes you don't want to have to remember a million passwords or go to six different places to get all your information. And that's where the benefit of working and being a member of Inspire is helpful to you and to the organizations that participate.
Right. There's also a feature in Inspire of posting a journal entry. So this is where it's mm-hmm. not really so much a question to the community, but it's a kind of private journal entry that I can make as broad or as narrow as I want it to be, right? So if, let's
right.
say, I'm a member of three communities, depending what I'm writing about in my little journal entry, say my son's in the hospital and we just got the hospital report and I want to put something up about that, I could choose to put that out to one, two, or three of my communities depending on what I think mm-hmm. its relevance is going to be.
Right, absolutely. And that is helpful because, again, you know, sometimes there's things that you want to, you're an active participant in several communities. You know, say you're in the VHL community and then you also want to post it in the NORD community and have that feedback from both communities. That ability is there when you post your journal.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing we haven't talked about yet is moderation, and I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about that. I know when... Mm-hmm. When the VHL Family Alliance started out, it's a rare disease, and there was a lot of confusion in the community. Not very many doctors knew much about it. Sometimes doctors would tell patients things that were patently wrong. A lot of patients were angry. A lot of patients had misinformation. And so for a long time, I decided it was better if we kept the conversation radial. You know, I'm. Mm-hmm. They'd come to me. They'd ask me questions. I'd sort of synthesize things, come up with better answers, get the corrections as needed, and then put out the better information. But as the community matured, then it became clear that we needed an online support community. And again, what I did was to wait until I had at least two moderators other than me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it needs somebody who's watching the stores and get prompt responses back, particularly to questions that show that there's some misinformation going or show some distress. That person needs an answer and needs a good answer and needs it quickly.
Right. What we say in Inspire and what we have and what we offer to our organization partners is that there's three levels of moderation. There's our team that does all of the basic, you know, moderation for basic community guidelines, general good behavior, no spam, no selling anything, you know, you're not, you know, running off and cursing at people online or attacking
right.
people, all of that kind of general good behavior, online good behavior, and our team handles all of that, and that takes that responsibility off of our partners so that they can get back to doing the traditional moderation, which is engaging in conversation. I kind of say it's like a garden. You kind of have to tend the garden every once in a while and jump in the conversation when necessary. We have some partners who keep a very helicopter eye view on their communities, and we have some like you, the VHL community and other communities, who have, you know, volunteers that are moderators and that are very active and in the conversations and help patients and caregivers in a more direct way. but the platform provides the ability to have both. And then the third level of moderation is the individuals themselves. We have a feature on each post that is report post. And so that actually is a really great feature because the community itself self-polices quite often. So if they see something that's not right, or if there is a person having an argument about a particular treatment, or they're having an argument about something that's not relevant, they can report that post, and that will go to our team. And if our team needs to involve our partners, if it's a medical issue or, you know, how they want to handle it, you know, we have the system in place to be able to do that. And a well moderated platform really makes people want to come back. It makes people feel safe. It makes people feel that they can have those real conversations, and it's not going to be a mess when they go on there. They're not going to have to sift through a lot of garbage in order to get what they need.
Right. You don't want to encounter spam. You don't want to have somebody saying, oh, buy beauty supplies here at a discount. It's like not relevant, gang. You know, get that message out of there. So that's, as you say, the basic tier of moderation. And then be nice to each other. You know, all those kindergarten rules apply. And this is a, you know, it's a friendly, civil community. And and that's the way we like to keep it. And another piece of education that we encountered, because we're so international, was for people to realize that the world is not all American. It's not all white. Mm-hmm. It's not all Christian. And you really have to be sensitive to the fact that you're talking with someone from, you don't know what culture, you don't know what language, you don't know what religious base, and there is a way to communicate and find value in that and be civil to one another. So, but it takes expansion of the normal civility that we're used to in our more narrow realms.
Yes, and people tend to hit the send button before they think about it, and so there is the ability to edit posts. Or the individual can edit their post. So if, you know, somebody reports the post and we say, hey, you might want to say it this way instead of this way, or, you know, we give them a kind of a warning saying, hey, that's not really how we behave here. That's really helpful. And we're pretty strict about our policies and, you know, the three strike you're out policy. If you don't pay attention to the rules, you know, it's really, and again, there's reassurance in that, because a lot of our partners are coming from traditional message boards or converting over their traditional message boards. And one of them recently, our National Psoriasis Foundation, I think, you know, feels very happy that we have that strict policy, and we're you know, maintaining a system that is going to be, you know, follows the rules and expects people to follow the rules when they're there.
Right. And I have to say, in the, what, more than a dozen years that I've been doing online support communities for VHL, I've only had like three episodes where we really had to step in and say, hey, you guys, you know, really, this is not the level of language we want here. Cool it. So, but it doesn't happen very often, but it's very nice to have those rules to rely on when it does.
Right. And the thing is, what we say is that, you know, we have over 160,000 members. And it, you know, like you said, it's very rare, but those, you know, those people who are like that can be very disruptive. And that's why we have that system of moderation in place, and that three-level system in place, is because those bad apples can kind of ruin the bunch. And so we really take that job seriously. And we have a great team of moderators that works with our partners to create a great environment.
Great. That's excellent. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that I forgot to cover that we should add in here?
In terms of just Inspire or in terms of patient support in general?
Go for it. Hey.
I think when we talk about, I think we were talking about offline at one point, you know, how organizations need to think about support in a global way.
Yeah.
That not everybody, you have to look at it as a full program, not just inpatient, you know, in-person support groups, not just materials, not just online support. You need to have the whole panel. And the online support is very much of a key. You know, 77% of adults go online for health information, and, you know, they're looking for people like themselves online, and this is really a great way to do that through Inspire or through platforms, you know, or through their website. But, again, it's important to think that not everybody has the same, what works for one may not work for the other.
Right.
And having all of those components in place as an organization is really critical. And more the social media and more the safe, private, secure places in order for people to have health conversations is becoming much more important. Facebook is not where you want to talk about your personal health and
right.
private health issues. And, you know, Inspire is a good solution for that. Because, again, you have the ability to have an alias and to keep your information safe, private, and secure. And so, and continue to have those conversations about your health and so that you're not revealing your whole life on Facebook.
Right, because in Facebook you really are out there with pictures of your kids and all that, and connections with your spouse and your mother-in-law and all. So you're really right out there. So as you say,
right.
when you want to ask those private health questions, you don't want to be out there. You want to
right.
be sort of behind the curtain, please. And Inspire gives you that level of privacy. So that's really good.
Right, absolutely. And Facebook can be complementary as an organization. An organization needs to look at patient support and social media in that way, that
right.
you know, Facebook, Twitter, all of that. And we have the ability to integrate all of those platforms into an organization's homepage so that all works together. Because Facebook is, you know, more for the advocacy and the fundraising and all of that piece, and that should be there
right.
and that should be part of your community, but in a different way. And there's ways to engage it and connect it. And we work closely with our partners in order to make that all work together so that it all works together so that you can build your community and create more support online.
Right. And if anybody's interested in VHL as a model for that, we have a fan page on Facebook, facebook.com/VHLFA. That's Very Happy Life Family Alliance. And then on that page, you'll see our awareness group. We have more than 2,000 people in the awareness group on Facebook, which is an open conversation where we talk about things like the Grey's Anatomy episode and public issues. And sometimes people post little tidbits about themselves, but we encourage them to take the more medical conversations over into Inspire. And that way, people who are just friends from college don't have to listen to the bits and bytes of the medical discussion, and also the person asking the question has that level of privacy if they want it.
Right, absolutely. And that's critical. I think, you know, people are feeling more and more like everything's out there. And, again, you want to be able to have those private conversations and feel safe when you're talking about things. And the value of that peer-to-peer support of people who are dealing with the same issues you are is vital. And this is an excellent tool in which to find that.
Right, and I do one-on-one answering questions for VHL as well by email and such. And sometimes people will ask me a question, like, for example, oh, my kid's going off to college. How do I know he's not going to just go see a doctor and sign up for brain surgery and I'll find out about mm-hmm. it later? And I'll say, you know what? That's a really good question to put out in Inspire, because there you'll get opinions from other parents who've been through that and hear from them what they've done about it. So it's not – that's a good example of a question that is really better as a group discussion than it is one-on-one.
Right, and there's a search feature on Inspire where you can search within a particular community about certain things or questions or terms. And that will come up and that will pull up all of those posts that are related to that search term. But then also you have the ability to search across Inspire as a whole. So, again, you know, for some of the rare diseases and for some of the cancers, there's a lot of, similar issues like neuropathy, you know, nausea, managing
mm-hmm.
nausea, all those kind of things where you can search across Inspire and see the benefits and see the posts from across all the different communities that might be relevant to you. And to the issue that you're seeking information about.
Right. So I think we're coming to the end of the hour. If anybody has any questions, feel free to join us by telephone or in the chat line. We have a couple of people in the chat line, so I don't know if you have any questions. Please just sort of chat them in, and I'll read them for Danielle. But this has been a very helpful discussion. Thanks, Danielle. So you've been with you've been with Inspire for about 3 years now?
Yes, I have. I've been with Inspire for almost 3 years. Like I said, I came from Ovarian Cancer National Alliance. I was the director of education for them. Unfortunately, my son passed away from cancer at age 5, and I needed a break from direct patient service. And I had created the community on Inspire, and it was an opportunity to create support in a more macro environment. And it was a great move, and has been exciting and engaging, and a whole new work life for me. So it's been great to work with a lot of these health organizations as they delve into this new medium.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, sorry about your son, but it certainly does give you a richness of experience that can help you see the possibilities for other groups that they may not have been able to see yet. And so if somebody's interested in setting up a community on Inspire, how do they go about finding you and talking about that?
They can reach me at Danielle@inspire.com, and we're happy to discuss with organizations. We only set it up with nonprofit organizations, again, for that specific reason that, you know, we do want to make sure that it's an organization that is dealing with a particular health condition. And so we work with 501c3s in order to provide that level of service to the individual patients and caregivers within a particular disease category. So they can reach out to me through Danielle at Inspire.com or go online to www.inspire.com and go to our About section, and you can see more information on how to register and sign up for more information about starting a group.
And if someone comes to you with an idea and you know that it's basically already in train under somebody else's flag, what would you do with that?
We typically, we do not create multiple communities for one specific health condition, again, because we really believe in the power of the collective. And we, frankly, we take the partnership seriously that we've created already with a particular disease organization. We often encourage collaboration and have a way to, you know, again, engage them and try to encourage them to participate in the community that already exists.
Right. So it's almost like having a designated room where a discussion on the topic that you care about is already going on, and it's best to join forces there. We have a question from John. I agree with what you say about Facebook being all out there, but they also have ways where you can ask questions and keep it private. I'm on Inspire, and I have neurofibromatosis 1 and 2, and which is also on Facebook. So, yes,
right.
It is possible to have a private conversation in Facebook. That's right. So you can go one-on-one with somebody in Facebook. You could even set up a private community on Facebook. This is just one more way to do it. And, there are pros and cons in both ways. But
right.
He's
but we don't
right
do that,
that's
one.
An option.
Right. We don't change our privacy and security rules every couple months. So we we take that very, very seriously. And, again, it's apples and oranges. It's two different things. You do have the ability to have private messages, but, the whole basis is that your public face is out there. And whereas on Spire, you have a public face, but again, it's under an alias, and you're able to keep that information private as much or as little as you choose to. All the power is within your hands rather than in somebody else's hands.
Right. And in Facebook, even if I have a private conversation with someone, I first had to be friends with that person. So I can see that person's profile, and they can see my profile. So they can see the pictures of my grandsons. And so there's a certain level I've already granted them of view into my private life, whereas with Inspire, if I'm behind my little alias of Snoopy, they don't really know who I am, where I live, anything about me, and we can have a conversation that's even more behind the curtain than a Facebook one.
Right, unless you choose to make more available, but yes, that's true.
Right. So it's just different tiers for different folks. One of the things that we're very sensitive to with VHL is not everybody wants you to know that they have this disease, because depending mm-hmm. who they work for or what kind of a job they have, there may be job repercussions or other life repercussions if it becomes known that they have a condition like a cancer or something like that. You don't always want other folks to know that. And this just allows you to maintain a certain level of privacy. We have some people who don't even want to call our 800 number because they know that their phone number is going to be recorded on our log.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you see that often with a lot of our rare disease communities, that people really want to make, or infertility. Our infertility community deals with that issue quite a bit. And they are a very vibrant community on Inspire, and it's very active, and part of it is because that it affords that that capability to maintain their privacy.
Right. So it's Danielle at Inspire.com, and thank you very, very much for joining us today. And if anybody wants to just go poke around on Inspire and see if you'd like to join it, you go to www.inspire.com. You can browse and see what conditions are already there. You can create yourself a free account and join the groups that you choose to join. Anything else they need to know about that, Danielle?
Nope. They can go in and create their profile and join the communities that are relevant to them. And, again, try it out, see if it works for you, and engage. That's the only way you can find support, is if you ask and go after it.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And everybody, I hope that you'll go poke around on Inspire. I think you'll find it very inspiring. And it's always good to talk to other folks who've been walking in your moccasins out there somewhere. And sometimes they have different perspectives on it that can be extremely helpful. Or you'll find that you can be very helpful to them. And just helping someone else nourishes our own self. So it's very good. It's a two-way street. It's very worthwhile to engage in either direction or both. Great. So
absolutely.
Everybody,
thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody, for being with us. This week I'm going to be recording another show tomorrow, Thursday, at 3 o'clock at the regular time. And this show is going to be rebroadcast in February. So I hope that you will join us. And meanwhile, have a great time and be well, and don't forget to be a powerful patient. Thanks again, Danielle. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much. Take care.